Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Intel Podcast. I am Dan Groff, Director of the Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University, Associate Professor of Economics at McNeese, and economist with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. Today we are joined by Christy Armand. She is the founder of Healthy Image Marketing and Thrive Magazine. Double whammy there. Christy graduated from McNeese State University with a bachelor's degree in public relations, pursued a master's in public relations and advertising from University of Louisiana Monroe, and then an MBA from McNeese. She founded Healthy Image Marketing Agency with a partner in 2002 and Thrive Magazine in 2003. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on. We really appreciate it.
I'm really excited to talk marketing with you.
Yeah. I mean, with this podcast, we want to speak about our economy and the many things that affect it. We recently had you at one of the LIDEA professional development CLED courses to speak about marketing and how to get the word out, for lack of a better term. And there's so much marketing that goes on in economics, you know, not just the industry and people you employ, the output you make. That is one facet. It is an industry and it is, you know, part of the economy, but it supports all the other facets, right? You need to get the word out about products, market an area or a site when it comes to economic development, market a university. So we really appreciate you being on.
I'm excited.
Yeah. And well, how did you come into your current position and what can you tell us about your work in attracting events related to marketing, events or projects in economic development?
Well, there's a lot that goes into marketing, but to me, it really does boil down to telling your story. How do you tell your story in a way that reaches the people that who you need to hear it? And I mean, that's a very oversimplification of what marketing is, but I think at the crux, that really is a great way to think about it. I think for me, my career began, I wanted to be a reporter. I remember that back in third grade. So communication and telling stories, I mean, I think that's just part of how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. I was on the yearbook staff in high school. I love putting all of that together. So you see the roots there of a magazine background that came out. I did, for a little while, pursue a law degree, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of maths involved in there, mm-hmm. and that my brain is on the word side. So once I discovered mass communication, it was just such a good fit. So after I graduated, I accepted a job in a marketing department at a local hospital. I was the editor of four newsletters, so I just wrote all the time and put these pieces together. While there, I worked my way up to be the marketing director, and we grew the department to include wellness and occupational health and all the things that kind of reach out into the community. I was there for about 10 years, and then we started the agency Healthy Image, which you can tell as when we started from the name really was based on our healthcare marketing mm-hmm. background. But I think that background has served us very well because when you work for doctors, and remember, this was before... I'm dating myself, but this was before the internet was there. So to write a story about a new cardiac stent, for example, I had to interview the doctor, go to the medical library, understand the technical aspects of that, and then be able to communicate it to the public. So I would always say, like, are my parents going to understand this when I talk about it? And the same, those lessons we learned there have applied to us throughout our business. Like if we have to understand something before we can communicate about it, and that's whether it's local industry and how they make things and how they protect the environment, job, workforce development, what the benefits are to people who would come and accept jobs and live here and how that impacts our economy. We have to understand it to do our job right, to tell that story. So I think those lessons I learned at an early age in my first job have really served me well as our agency grew beyond healthcare and into other industries.
And but you're in Southwest Louisiana, and you've obviously conversed with other marketing professionals throughout the state and the nation. How do you think, what surprised you about marketing in Southwest Louisiana, or how does it differ from other areas in your opinion?
I think if you talk to anybody about their community, everyone kind of feels like, oh, it's different here. But I think that comes from, you know, this place. And fortunately for us, most of the people, almost everyone right now at our agency, we are from Southwest Louisiana. Most of us are McNeese graduates. I think having the right relationships in place, that's a strength of our community. People stay connected, and those connections can have a long lifetime. And I can call on someone I worked with 20 years ago. I'm like, remember that time we did this? Where did you buy that? And they'll point me in the right directions. I'm not sure that's true of other places where people don't, you know, stay as long as they do. I think our community has been through a lot of challenges that have certainly affected the marketing terrain. Our agency has been in existence through two major hurricanes, you know, Rita and then Laura. But I think another strength that we have here is how our community pulls together and we work together when we do face adversity, whether that's economic or natural disaster, which certainly impacts the economy as well.
Oh, definitely. And you have to sort of market the area and how it's recovering, right?
Right.
And get people coming back. And
another thing that when you ask about what surprises us about marketing here is when we're talking to people outside the area and you say you're from Louisiana. Oh, I've been to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Well, there's more to our state than New Orleans. Nothing against New Orleans. And getting people to understand where we are, like the heel of the boot is we're in the heel of the boot. We're actually closer to Texas or, you know, just as close to Houston as we are to New Orleans, which is an ideal. I mean, there's some great economic advantages to being halfway between Houston, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. But getting people, that struggle is real, getting people to understand who we are, how we're different from other parts of the state.
Yeah, they don't realize when people are coming in from out of town, New Orleans is a long 3-hour drive.
Right.
I can't just meet up with you. Totally
different accent.
Yep,
you know?
Exactly. And so what are some of the more interesting projects you've taken on since founding Healthy Image?
You know? There are so many. It was. I thank you for asking this question. It allowed me a little trip down memory lane. There have been some things that are not always as fun. Like I remember writing a manual for a phone company one time. And I mean, kind of our motto is if a client needs it, we're going to say, yes, we can. We want to be a partner with our clients, not just someone they call when they need an ad written. Now, we have clients who do that and we're happy to accept that. But we do our best work when we feel like we're partners with our clients and they're trusting us, which there is a lot of trust involved to talk about your goals and your strategies, your weaknesses with someone who's not inside. But I think we've been in business long enough now and hopefully have earned a reputation for being trustworthy because we can do a much better job when we know exactly where you want to be and then we can help you get there. So, I mean, we found ducks for a commercial. I mean, if somebody needs something, a beauty pageant bow, like, I don't know who makes those, but I'm about to go find out. So whatever they need, we're their people, mm-hmm. and we want it to work that way.
I'd assume you'd have to learn a little bit about different industries just to have
that is so much of what we love about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, going back to that healthcare, I was learning things all the time. I would be so bored if I had to work on just one project all the time or just one industry. We joke in our office that I'm turning the channel now because I do. I have to turn from healthcare to banking to real estate to industry. We just helped a client open an indoor adventure park, which was a lot of fun. And we love it when we get a client in a category that we've never worked with because we have so much to learn. And then we can think about how we can help them tell their story. But we've had a lot of really fun projects. I don't know if you want me to go into any of those now. But working with area industry, I think that was
big... Yeah, it's an econ podcast.
Yeah.
And I know you've done work with the LAIA and other things.
That really was a turning point for us. But how that began was because of our healthcare background. They wanted to do a campaign. There was a lot of publicity. This was probably back in 2006, 2007, somewhere around there, about... So it was kind of early in our history, and it was a big challenge for us. We had mainly worked in healthcare before that, but there was a lot of publicity about Cancer Alley mm-hmm. and that we were right in the middle of Cancer Alley. But the research really didn't show that. It showed that your chance of getting cancer here wasn't any higher than anywhere else, but the health habits of people here were not exactly where the rest of the country was, or healthier parts of the country
yes.
were. The prevention, the seeing a doctor regularly, having those kinds of things in place. So they approached us about working with this because of our healthcare background, and we talked to a lot of doctors because we were also skeptical because you see it in the news, it's Cancer Alley. Mm-hmm. So we learned a lot from local doctors about the prevention, and I mean, I think your chance of getting cancer was 1 in 4 wherever you lived, but if you weren't having certain exams or doing those kinds of things. So we really And the neat thing about that, we were able to change the perception of that in our area through this campaign. And they do surveys every year, so it really showed that that campaign had an impact.
Yeah, because you need to back it up with, like, substantial information, right? You can't just make it up and say, you know, oh, no, it's completely safe. Like, you actually had to talk to doctors and talk to industry.
Yeah, because we didn't want to be involved in something that that wasn't accurate. And the doctors who agreed to work on the campaign were fine with that, too. You know, the cancer incidence was higher here, but it wasn't because of industry. It was because people were not having their screenings. They weren't getting treatment as early because of that. The cancers weren't being detected as early.
And you said if you wanted, but no, if you wanted to talk about a couple of other projects or one or two.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that led to, from that campaign with LAIA, we were able to continue working with them, and we still work with them today. And we developed a lot of communication programs that weren't just promoting local industry, but also explaining some of the things, just like the cancer topic, that when you see smoke coming from the stacks at the plant, that's not necessarily pollution. Many times it's water vapor, which, because of our humidity and the heat here, that's actually a safe practice, an environmentally safe practice. And what we love to see, I've seen someone question that on social media now, like, what are they releasing over here? And then someone from the public will actually answer, haven't you seen that that's probably water vapor? You know, they talk about this all the time. And we, like I said, we monitor things for LAIA, so we're able to see that we've had an impact on what the perception is, just by presenting the facts about different things and having this presented by people who work in industry. Another campaign we did for them that we're continuing to expand is Industry Impact. After Industry Insider, which really shows the contributions industry make in our community, both economic through jobs and pay, and pay the small business impact. They use a lot of local vendors. We benefit from area industry. I mean, we're a vendor for them. Donations to area nonprofits, volunteers for area nonprofits. There's so much that they give back to education in the community. So being able to quantify that and present that in a cohesive campaign that the general public can see and understand, I think has really made a difference for them as well.
And that's like a more recent development that you've done in anything?
We've been doing it over the past few years, but we update it every year. Now we've expanded it with the growing LNG industry to show specifically what the LNG industry is giving back.
Right. And and you re-up it. And anything more going forward or any recent things? I mean, I'm at McNeese, so I know sort of about McNeese partnership.
One thing we did that started last year that we're really proud of as McNeese graduates, and I think has had a big impact. McNeese had a big hit from the storm. And like any university of that size anyway, enrollment with online and all the other options has played a factor, and then we had the storm. So I was asked to serve on a committee to how do we mobilize the local workforce, the local businesses, to kind of have more visible support for McNeese. So we came up with the campaign McNeese Works Here, which works, pardon the pun, on a couple of levels. It allows area businesses and organizations to showcase their McNeese workforce, people who've graduated from McNeese, who are attending McNeese, or who attended McNeese, even if they didn't receive a degree. To show the impact that McNeese has across our community at almost every company is going to have a McNeese graduate or McNeese student. So it kind of elevates that, shows their pride in their workforce, and at the same time communicates the role McNeese plays in providing a workforce for area companies.
And what's even more interesting about that is the business gets their name out too.
Right. And it was completely free.
Yeah.
Like we, Healthy Image, donated the time to develop the campaign, which we were happy to do. And it was so gratifying to see so many companies participate. Almost 200, we just relaunched it. And all they had to do was take a picture of their workforce, so we would go take it for them, set up their social posts, which were shared on their platforms. McNeese shared on all their pages. We shared on the Thrive magazine page. And now they're repeating that. Many of them ran print ads. They ran billboards. I know Stein put signs up all over their buildings. So it's been a very gratifying process for us, and I think and rewarding for McNeese to see that community support in such a visible way.
Yeah, and I saw another one where you're it was like a Lake Charles live here, but also go to McNeese.
Yeah, that was actually from Mayor Nick Hunter. It was his idea originally, because think about it, when kids choose a place to go to college, they're also choosing a city to live in. So he approached McNeese. He approached us first. We came up with the idea. He approached McNeese, and Dr. Roos agreed to sponsor the production of this that basically is a hype video, a recruitment video for all that Lake Charles and McNeese has to offer. And it was a lot of fun to do. We had a lot of students participating, but it basically shows everything that you get when you choose McNeese and Lake Charles as your home. So we love collaborative projects like that, where it's the city and McNeese working together, the businesses for McNeese Works here and McNeese working together. You can just push your message and tell that story in through a lot of different platforms that way when you have multiple groups collaborating.
Yeah, and ever since COVID and the hurricanes, I've just been really on this soapbox about population and labor force. And believe it or not, what you're doing is really trying to help that, to get an educated, skilled workforce to live here, you know, and come back or stay here or something like that,
right,
or attract people. It's all going to help economic development in the future.
And that's such a selling point for us, are both, you know, the job growth and the industrial base and the skilled workforce. But as you're attracting, you know this better than I do, attracting companies to come here, we have to have the workers for them.
Yes, absolutely.
I know I was the chamber board chair in 2020, so 2 months before COVID shut down, had to give a speech at the annual banquet. And the statistics I had in there were so impressive. You know, the most productive workforce in the country, the fastest growing economy in the country. And then COVID, you know, shut everything down. And then we had the natural disasters after that. But all of that potential is still there, and it's coming back strong, and I'm excited to be a part of that.
And that leads to my next one, and I'm going to have to alter this question a little bit, because I always ask, because we are an econ podcast, and I know you're not an economist, but where do you think the economy is headed? But my original question was, how will marketing your agency and so forth keep up with new trends? But since you brought up the newsletter, you were putting that out before internet and everything. This was, how have you kept up with technology? Like you said, turn the channel. People don't watch channels anymore.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
They're just streaming.
So in my head, I think it's a turn the channel in my brain.
Yeah. So like how has Healthy Image or like this area adapted to new technological changes, internet, streaming, social media, all that sort of stuff? And how are you going to keep up with the new trends in development, whether it be artificial intelligence or anything like that, you know?
Keep hiring young people.
Keep hiring young people, yeah.
That's part of the strategy. Our goal as an agency is to always hopefully be a step ahead or bringing the latest advances to our clients. Mm-hmm. So we make a very concentrated effort to stay abreast of technology, make sure our skills are where they need to be to ensure that our clients get the most of any new technology. I think some of it you have to be discerning about, that it's maybe a flash in the pan, it's not going to stay. So how much do we recommend that our clients invest in certain things? And that's, again, kind of a partnership of knowing that they trust us and we trust that they're giving us all the information we need to help them make those decisions. But it is a growing challenge. Like when you talk about the newsletters, I mean, I would type those in on a computer, at least, it wasn't that old school, bring them to the printer to typeset, and then I would have to come back and lay them out on a light table and then bring that mock up and they would do a proof. It was a 1 month process, and now you can lay a newsletter out in a few hours,
right?
Less, you know, if you have all the content written already. So it's been interesting to have a front row seat at that evolving technology, and desktop publishing while I was doing those newsletters kind of evolved and we switched to that. So we have designers who can do things so quickly, but the tools are out there that anyone can publish. I wish social media had been around when I started. We had to beg, borrow, steal, whatever we had to do to get things covered by local media. Now you can have a conversation with your target audience just by sitting at your computer. So that is such a gift, but you have to use it, you know, correctly. But you don't have to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in a media campaign to reach who you need to reach now.
Right, because it's just all out there for free.
It's transformative. Yeah, it really is.
Well, no, thank you so much for being on. Like I said, marketing is so important, and you mentioned you're a small business, right?
Small business, still a small business. And, I think one thing that...
So that's like another part of the economy. It's like you're actually employing people and doing that. We're talking mostly about getting the word out, but also you have to hire people, run the business.
Right. I think one of the things we talked about before was, you know, what, how was it marketing, you know, growing our business? And I think for us, we kind of started as a sideline of our previous careers. So it wasn't that we had this big business plan or a big loan. I mean, we worked out of our homes. We had our other jobs while we started this, and it just slowly grew. So I think for us, that made things a lot easier as we grew. But the challenge of, as you hire people, is that responsibility of the decisions I make aren't just affecting me. There's all these cars in the parking lot of our building. You know, there's a building note. We built a building. You have to, so sometimes you take on jobs that aren't as fun because you need to make sure you get all the business coming in, and you never know where those relationships will lead to.
Yeah, everything is important. And I was about to wrap it up, but I forgot to ask, what made you want to decide to start up a magazine?
That kind of came out of, we approached marketing a little bit different than a lot of agencies did, particularly when we started, where we had this focus on communication. It's not just advertising, like you hear about advertising agencies. We were more of a full-service communication agency. And for a lot of our clients at the time, they didn't do paid advertising, but they wanted their name out there. And the way we got their name out there was writing articles, scheduling interviews, getting that publicity that I was referring to. That set them up as a credible resource for whatever their topic was. But the bigger we got, then we were kind of cannibalizing ourselves, because you cannot get every story published, particularly if it doesn't have a news angle. And when I was at the hospital as a marketing director, I had the newsletters, and then I started a magazine. So we were just, you know, we could do a magazine. Maybe there's not a magazine in our market that is just good news, information about how to live a balanced life, a healthier life. So we started Thrive. About a year and a half after we had the agency, both to give us space to have stories for our clients, but not, it wasn't just for our clients. It was an independent business. In the beginning, we did it all ourselves, and it was quarterly, and then it grew to bi-monthly, and then after Rita, we decided let's just do monthly.
Yeah.
And it's grown a lot on its own. It has its own staff. The early years, the week that we put the magazine together, we would have to kind of try to stall gently our clients. You know, we couldn't say we're doing this magazine, but it was that struggle to juggle. I mean, it was very real. But it's grown enough now, and it has its own staff, and we're still very proud of it. It fills a gap in the audience. It has just good information. We highlight a lot of local businesses. That's what we like to do, is share the local news. Tell their stories, how they started, the challenges they face, what helped them be successful. I think we'll keep doing it as long as the community keeps supporting it.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, you still have physical copies, but it's all online too.
Yes,
it's just all
both.
About technology changing. So, I didn't mean to push it too far, but
thank you
so much for your time and getting the word out about economic development, and everything is so important, and we really appreciate you being on.
No, thank you for having me.
This show is presented by the H.C. Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University in partnership with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. You can find more information about our regional economy at www.mcneesedrewecon.org.